Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Under 40 Victims of Fate podcast, a Jimmy Buffett podcast. I'm Adam Capps.
And I am Hank Harrowood, and we're glad you're listening with us today.
Yeah, man, it's great to be here. It's great to finally be doing this. We've talked about it for a while, and, you know, we've made it through the longest year in history, and what better way to cap it off than to start recording here, you know, I guess we have, 2 days left of the wonderful year of 2020.
No doubt. There's no doubt about it. I am, I'm happy to get this thing off the ground. Hopefully some other people will have as much fun listening as we plan on making this and recording these things. So I'm excited and I'm looking forward to it. And boy, 2020 has been a difficult year in a lot of ways for a lot of people. And so maybe we'll end it up on a high note here and give some folks a reason to smile as they listen in to Under 40 Victim of Fate, you know. And like you mentioned, we've been talking about it for a while, and I love the name Under 40 Victim of Fate we've landed on, man. There's so many folks out there like you and I who are in their 20s or 30s who are huge Jimmy Buffett fans. We missed some of the early stuff, but here we are now, man, Under 40 Victims of Fate. Completely wrapped up in Jimmy and his music and enjoying every second of it.
Yeah, it's been a big year for Jimmy, though there was no touring. How lucky are we, man? Two studio albums from the man in 2020. So when he couldn't give us, obviously for health concerns, he couldn't give us the wonderful summer memories that we're used to, but man, the dude still delivered.
No doubt. It was a huge year. And listen, anytime I tell people, anytime we can get any kind of album, whether it's a compilation or a live album or a studio album or whatever it is, anytime we get new stuff from Jimmy and the Coral Reefer Band, it's always something to smile about. And there's always something new. There's a new twist on something, or maybe a little word changed here or a little melody changed there that makes it all worth listening to over and over again.
That's right. Anything at this point really seems like A, that it was released, maybe, and then songs you don't know by heart a little over a month ago. But it's been wonderful. As Hank alluded to earlier, our goal in this podcast is, well, we're going to talk all things Buffett and more. Specifically, we're going to look at it from the perspective of that younger generation of Parrotheads, the ones that are under 40, victims of fate. Now, we got our name, obviously, from Pirate Looks at 40 when Jimmy says, I'm an over 40 victim of fate, arriving too late. And Hank, you've alluded to this a little bit. We kind of feel that way, huh?
Oh, no doubt. You know, I sometimes look back at the old YouTube videos and I hear stories and read books about the old Key West days. And, you know, I wasn't around until 85. And so missed a lot of the early 80s, obviously, and really even wouldn't have any memories at all of the late 80s and through the 90s. And I was an unfortunate soul whose parents would never take me to Jimmy Buffett concerts, despite the fact that they loved Jimmy Buffett and I grew up listening to him, would never take me to concerts. When I got to my first show, I realized, man, this is what it's all about. And sometimes, as thankful as I am that Jimmy's still touring and you know, putting out music for us to listen to and those kind of things, sometimes I think, boy, how much fun would it have been back in the late 80s and the 90s, mid 80s, late 80s and the 90s to go to some of those back-to-back shows or some of those three-day stops in the same place. And, man, what those parties and the camaraderie and those kind of things must have been like. But I'll tell you, our guy just celebrated his 74th birthday, man. So I'm excited, even if the shows may look a little different from time to time. Even if we missed the first, you know, 20 or 25 years in my case, and a little more in your case, I'm excited for every time I get to see him walk on the stage and play music. And there's nobody that will perform like Jimmy, there's no doubt.
Whenever all this stuff is over with, I have locked in my phone 2 tickets, fifth row, Jimmy Buffett and the Coral Reefer Band at Walnut Creek in Raleigh, and could not be more excited. So
that's big time, man. I know 2020 was a big year for you. You'll probably have a special new family member with you at that concert. You've added to your family, not with a child, but with a wife.
That's right. Yeah, we were supposed to get married May 30th, and we found out there was going to be a mandated lockdown on March 27th, so we got married March 29th. So one day before the lockdown was going to begin, we went from about 350 people all the way down to 40, which was basically family and the wedding party. Social distance as best we could. People were, especially the elderly, made sure they had their masks, sanitizing everywhere. It wasn't what we planned, but as Jimmy would say, we kind of rolled with the punches. And yeah, my wife, not the biggest Buffett fan in the world, but I did talk her into us walking into our little reception to Brown Eyed Girl. So yeah. Her having brown eyes helped me persuade her into that. But yeah, it was a big year for me in that sense that, you know, tied the knot, got married a lot younger than I ever thought I would. But, you know, it's good. It's good. The right one comes along. You got to snatch them up.
You're right. Got to jump on it.
That's right.
That's a fun 2020 story, though, man. You know, my 2020 story, I think, or song, I should say, obviously my 2020 Jimmy Buffett song, probably If It All Falls Down. And that story reminds me of that. You know, if it all falls down, you've had your fun and bought a few rounds. So you've made the most of it, man. It kind of all fell down on you, but you guys are just as married, man, and doing great. And that's awesome.
Oh, from a guy's perspective, I think going from 350 to 40 people is a dream. So
sure. Well, Emily probably loved that one too.
Yeah. Emily didn't get exactly what she wanted, I don't think, you know, in the day and the festivities, but we were both really glad to be married 2 months sooner and just really glad that it's done. You and your wife also had a pretty big year. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, we did. We did. Like you, you know, didn't imagine getting married maybe as young as you did. And one thing I never imagined myself, I'm guilty like a lot of us, is of growing older, but not up. And I never imagined myself too much as a parent. But here we are this year. My wife and I welcomed our son, Mayor Wilson Harewood, into the world, September 11th, 2020, healthy and happy, 8 pounds, 1 ounce, born in Charlotte, North Carolina. So, we did, we welcomed a new little parakeet, Mayor. We got to watch the whole, cabin fever tour with him. And that was a lot of fun. He was, we had a shirt made for my wife that she wore during the concerts. Fruitcake in the oven that she got to wear, and we got a couple of pictures of her and that was a lot of fun. And so he got here, like I said, healthy and happy, September 11th, 2020, Mayor got here. And for those parrot heads listening who are fans of Jimmy, but also of the Coral Reefer Band, his name may sound a little familiar to you. Peter and Jim Mayer, two of my favorite Coral Reefer Band members, inspired the name, Mayor Harewood. So, we were excited to get a little influence, a little Jimmy Buffett influence on his name there. And of course, we love the name Mayor. We've gotten a lot of compliments on it and those kind of things. And actually, I had the chance to send Peter Mayer a message on Facebook and send him a picture of Mayer. And so he sent a really great message back. So Peter, if you hear this, shout out, appreciate the message back, and know that we're going to do our best to make sure Mayer grows up listening to your music and great music made by people like you his whole life.
Yeah, you can't beat that, man. That's a really cool story. Really cool of Peter to see that and reply back. It's just always cool when you reach out or meet your heroes, and they're people always say don't meet your heroes. So it's cool when people you look up to turn out to be genuinely good people. And it's hard to believe that everybody in the Coral Reefer Band isn't just top shelf. They're having so much fun up there, and you've heard them talk about it. Why would we want to retire when we're having this much fun? So sure. I hope they stay that way and they're on the stage, you know, when when the Lord comes back. So,
man, I'll tell you, I hope, I've told my wife this, I hope those girls and guys can play music as long as they want to. And, you know, Doyle, our guy Doyle Gresham, had a tough car wreck, a little health scare, maybe a couple years ago now. And I know Mac had a little scare a couple years ago now. He seems to be doing great. So they're doing well. Michael Utley still looks like he's 25 up there. God bless him. Right. So they seem to be doing great. I don't think Madeira and Tina have aged half of a second since I've started really following the band close. So, you know, I think they're doing great. I'm like you. They still seem like they're having a ton of fun. The last time I saw Jimmy and the Coral Reefer Band was right before COVID, or maybe last year before COVID. And, man, they look like they were having as much fun as I've ever seen them have. And so that's exciting stuff for those of us who love going to the shows. And, you know, I do personally, and I know you do, and probably a lot of folks listening love going to the show. So I'm glad that we still get to watch them play, and I hope we get to watch them play for a real long time. But I have told folks, you know, if Jimmy Buffett was 100 years old playing his guitar in a bar somewhere to 20 people, I'd be one of those 20 people, and I'd be there to listen to him.
Yeah, well, what a dream that would be to get Jimmy in an intimate setting. I think, yeah, that's just probably a dream's only place we're going to see that. But anyway, why don't you tell everyone about how you became a Parrothead?
Yeah, man, it's been a fun journey for me, you know, and I think I've been listening to Jimmy and his music since as long as I can remember. Literally, some of my first memories have Jimmy Buffett playing in the background. And so my parents were big Jimmy Buffett fans. Like I said, they'd never take my brother and I to concerts, but, you know, I found out that wasn't because they didn't want to. That was because they didn't want the responsibility of us being there. So that was like so many people. That was, you know, two or three nights a year that they got to let their hair down and relax and not be mom and dad and not be whoever they were during the workday. But, you know, they got to go put on their Hawaiian shirts and party and have a ball, and not having little boys to worry about made it a little more fun. So I get it. Don't blame them for that. But I was, you know, kind of raised on Jimmy Buffett, like a lot of folks, but not all of us. And some of my earliest memories, you know, we'd get home, I guess maybe 6 or 7 years old. My dad had a record player where he'd play old vinyls and two huge speakers. We'd get home, we were maybe 6 or 7, and we looked forward to it all week. We had pizza night on Friday, and so we'd order pizza, the Domino's would get there, and we would get to go over and pick out a couple of albums that we wanted to listen to out of this huge case of vinyl that my dad had. Tons of classic rock, tons of music from the 60s and 70s, and I mean, a lot of Van Halen stuff too. I mean, great music, man. Paul Simon. My dad, he's really into, you know, Bob Marley and stuff too. So a bunch of unbelievable records. But my brother and I would always go for two in particular. And I'll never forget Son of a Sailor was the first one, which really speaks to the timelessness of Jimmy's music. That was probably 1992. So Son of a Sailor came out in, I think, 78. So, you know, that was 14 or 15 years after that that record came out. We were still, you know, 6 or 7 years old. Running to it to turn it on. That's actually the record I learned how to put a needle on vinyl with that record. You know, loved all the tracks on the record, but for some reason as a kid, you know, I loved Son of a Sailor, but sometimes I'd want to skip right to Full Button, man. That was my jam growing up. We used to love it. We'd turn that one up loud and dance around on Friday nights. And the other one, Last Mango in Paris, which is, yeah, I was destined, I think, to listen to and love that album. Came out in 85, same year I was born. And so I've spent a lot of time myself at Captain Tony's now. But I remember, you know, those two records, Son of a Sailor and Last Mango in Paris. Really, really fantastic records at different stages of Jimmy's career. But I remember loving them as 6 or 7 year old. And, you know, by the time I was 8 or 9, I knew most of the songs on the Yellow album and, you know, had a lot of questions about the lyrics. And I remember asking some questions about those lyrics. And, you know, in hindsight, remember my parents trying to dance around those. But I grew up that way listening to Jimmy and, you know, got into college and later in law school and really, really started going to a lot more shows and had a ball. Luckily married a woman who is down to have a good time as often as I am. And so for years we traveled around and, We got to see Jimmy all over the place. Chicago and Wrigley Field was a special show, and we've been to a few in Nashville and New Year's Eve show before, and all over Florida and South Carolina, and a couple special shows other places too. So, you know, we've had a ball really getting into it. And in the last few years, certainly making, you know, more friends that were big parrot heads like I am, and getting to dive a little deeper into Jimmy and his music has been a lot of fun. So it's been a great ride with Jimmy, and I've been blessed to be a fan for a long, long time, which is a little bit different than you.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's been a slow progression for me. First time I heard of Jimmy Buffett was Alan Jackson wondering, what would Jimmy Buffett do in 5 o'clock somewhere? And I was like, who is Jimmy Buffett and why is it so important what he would do in this situation? I understand a little better now. Obviously, I heard Margaritaville and Changes in Latitudes, Changes in Attitudes on the radio, which are still kind of in rotation today. But long story short, I got into Jimmy Buffett because of Kenny Chesney. I'm a music nerd, one of the nerdiest people about music you'll find. And I love the songwriter side of things. So same thing with Kenny Chesney. When people say they like Kenny Chesney, they'll mention Summertime, Pirate Flag, Beer in Mexico, but it's the songs from him like Way Down Here and Old Blue Chair.
Yeah, good one.
Be As You Are. Those songs that really show off the songwriting ability that make me gravitate towards him. Well, I was reading some liner notes from one of Kenny's albums one day and read that this certain song that he was talking about made him think about driving down A1A listening to He Went to Paris by Jimmy Buffett on repeat. So I was kind of like, Kenny Chesney likes that song. I should probably check it out. And I did. I fell in love. A few years later, I heard Trying to Reason with Hurricane Season. And at that point, I decided I would do kind of a deep dive. Trying to Reason with Hurricane Season just so happened to be on a little record called A1A, which is a favorite for many parrot heads. And from Trying to Reason with Hurricane Season came Tin Cup Chalice, you know, all these wonderfully written songs on
Nautical Wheelers, one of my favorites.
Oh, my goodness. The B-side of A1A, I'll go ahead and say it, is the single greatest side to a record ever.
You know, it hard to beat, right? I mean, you have not only no weaknesses, but you're talking at that point, you know, Pirate looks at 40, Trying to Reason with Hurricane Season, who, like you mentioned, everybody in the world's tried to redo. And, you know, Jimmy and Kenny Chesney, I think, have redone that one together.
That's right.
Nautical Wheelers, which to me takes me back to Old Town Key West, as I imagine it back in those early 70s, you know, when Jimmy was living on Waddell Avenue, having a ball, Tin Cup Chalice. I mean, strong songs, man. I could see why it roped you in.
Yeah, and Migration. I think Migration, you know, this is getting really musical nerd on you, but I was a communication major in college and I did my Com 490, which is a capstone course. I did my final paper. It was a narrative analysis of a certain album. And if I had my time back and was a parrot head at the time, I wish I would have done a narrative analysis of A1A, because you can almost see Jimmy change. And we'll talk about this when we go in depth on A1A a little more, but side A of A1A is a very country-ish theme. Mm-hmm. And then with side B, starting with Migration, you almost see that migration itself to Jimmy, the guy that became the Margaritaville guy, right? The beach Jimmy.
The guy with Old Town Key West, you know,
that's right.
It almost seems like on that first trip over to Key West with Jerry Jeff, RIP, lost him this year, but almost seems like that first trip, you know, maybe he wrote some of side A on the trip down to Key West and spent a couple nights or a couple weeks over in Key West and started working on side B after that.
Yeah, that's sure what it seems like, for sure. But no, once I dove in A1A, that led me to other records, and I now have every single vinyl record that Jimmy Buffett's ever made sitting over there in in my record crate, something I'm really proud of, except for Down to Earth, which is framed on the wall.
That's outstanding.
Yeah, but I think you've been to 30-some shows. I've only been to one because Jimmy's only been around. Well, the closest he's come to me has been Virginia Beach since I've been what I would consider a Parrothead, and we made the 4.5-hour drive there, 4.5-hour drive back in one day, my wife and I, and genuinely one of the greatest days of my life, hands down, the best concert I've ever been to.
Yeah, I remember being there at that show and getting to hang out a little bit with you, and what a special show. You know, actually, my wife and I met a couple of other under 40 victims of fate. Actually, one of them from Charlotte. My wife and I were out tailgating, and they pulled up and hopped out of their Uber and hung out with us most of the day, and that was a lot of fun. We met somebody who, unlike me, her parents actually took her to the shows growing up. So she was at all those shows in the 90s and had a lot of fun. Maybe we'll get her on the show one day too, to chat about it. But yeah, you know, it's been hard for me personally the last couple of years with COVID, and then I only made it to one or two shows last year, which is a pretty down year for me. And so we had a big year lined up this year. We had a number of shows in the Carolinas. I think Columbia and Charleston were both on the docket, and Charlotte and Raleigh, and certainly a few of the Florida shows as well as Cincinnati. So it was going to be a big year, and then COVID happened. But you know what? There's a lot of folks for us to think about and send our warm and well wishes to in regards to COVID. You know, we've certainly missed Jimmy being on the road, but there's a lot of people missing a lot more than that. Not to say it hadn't been tough. You know, it's been hard. I've got, even with Mayer entering the picture, I've got the thumbs up, the go ahead from my wife, Tara, whenever James plays his first show back after COVID, I will be there. And so if he plays it in California or Texas or Florida or wherever it is, even if I buy one ticket and go by myself, whenever he plays his first show back, I plan to be there, and I'm looking forward to that. Maybe it'll be close enough. We can have a little under 40 victim of fate podcast road trip. We'll go somewhere together.
Yeah, that would be awesome, man. That would be absolutely incredible. We can't wait for the day. Cannot wait. So we are going to, throughout this podcast, do some deep dives into album by album. That's a lot of episodes in itself with as much content as our guy has created over the last, 50 years.
Almost, yeah.
We're going to talk about 50 years. Yeah, it's been a while.
How about that? Going all the way back to Down to Earth and
that's
really
right.
Even the three early Key West albums, man. You're talking about 50 years of unbelievable music.
Yeah, yeah. I know you and I have both read some of Jimmy's books. We're working on getting all of them crossed off our list. I think we both have them all on the bookshelf at least. We just got to find time to read them. And we want to bring on some guests, especially other people who are under 40 victims of fate. You know, maybe weren't around during the heyday of the Parrothead craziness, but are still, living that dream. And
that's right. That's probably one of the parts of the show I'm most looking forward to, man, is getting some guests on here and hearing their stories about how they became Parrotheads and Jimmy Buffett fans, and good memories they have with it, and what albums they love and what songs they love and what good memories and fun times they've had at concerts. You know, it's really apparent at shows these days. You'll see a lot of folks that are, sometimes I like to call us Parrothead 2.0s, you know, we're that second and third generation of folks who love it just as much as our parents did. And you're right, that's going to be fun, man, having some other folks on and having some guests and hearing other like-minded people in their 20s and 30s. Haven't yet hit that magical 40. You know, other folks get to talk about their love for Jimmy and his music and his storytelling the same way that that we love
it. Yeah, that's right. That's right. It is amazing to hear. Now, I don't have that many friends that are Parrotheads, but just the emotional attachments that each of us definitely have, that the few friends that we have that are into Jimmy have to the music, and just goes to show that, one, how powerful music is, and two, those people that really get it, that really get what Jimmy's doing. And my wife has asked me before, what is it about Jimmy Buffett's music that is so much better than this other artist? And I say, so many artists today are writing about relationships, whether the high of that, the fall of a relationship. Jimmy Buffett at his core writes about life. And more importantly, the wonderful experiences of life. And he's definitely had a plenty through his life to draw from. He's had a great muse through his travels, you know, and things of that nature. But when the people really get it and are able to see their lives through these songs, it's such a powerful thing and something that I am really excited to hear people talk about.
No doubt. And, you know, sometimes you run into those folks with Jimmy Buffett. Oh, you mean the Margaritaville guy, or, oh yeah, the guy who sings about cheeseburgers. And he does those things. And I'm personally thankful for those songs because, you know, so many folks have gotten to hear Jimmy and his music and got introduced to it, at least through those songs. And they're fun songs. You know what I mean? They're fun songs to hear on the beach or to toe tap when you're out with friends or whatever. But, you know, when you really get into his songwriting, I mean, I truly believe that Jimmy Buffett is one of the elite songwriters in the world. And you know, when I start talking about elite songwriters and people that are great musicians and those kind of things, I like to listen to other songwriters. And when you listen to other people in Nashville or in the music scene, particularly these days, a lot of folks who are getting going or have been going for a while at this point, just not quite as long as Jimmy, you know, they'll tell you, you know, Jimmy Buffett is probably their songwriting inspiration more times than not for a lot of those folks. I mean, he's inspired a lot of songwriters and a lot of storytellers by writing songs and telling stories the way he does. And so, you know, when you get those folks, and I tell them, hey, if all he had was one song, he wouldn't have been selling out shows worldwide for the last 40 years, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And just to touch on what you're speaking of with his songwriting, it's how timeless these songs are. You know, these songs don't really age for some of them to have been literally 50 years old this year.
Absolutely.
I think about a song, I've thought about this line from a song a lot this year, and Color of the Sun, which was released back on Songs from St. Somewhere, I believe 2013. But there's a line in the last verse of that song that said, "The best of times can still somehow be found." And I think a lot of us in difficult times, and gosh knows this year's had its share of difficult times, we cling to lyrics like that for hope. I know I do. And it's a gift that Jimmy has that is just someone like myself who tries to write songs from time to time. I wish I had it for sure.
Well, hey, you do a pretty good job writing some songs and playing that guitar, you know, inspired of course by Jimmy and a couple other folks you mentioned, man, but you know, you hit the nail on the head. It's a lot of fun to just kind of turn those songs on. And for me, those songs are comfortable. You know, if it's, I'm going through hard times or, you know, even had a long day or a long week or whatever it is, there's a lot of days where I look forward to that, you know, 10:30 to 11 o'clock, getting to just turn on the playlist and maybe have a beer and relax a little bit. And, you know, all those songs that I hear, you know, I'm like you, I've got a playlist that's probably eight and a half hours long. Every song on there brings up a lot of great memories and a lot of reasons to smile. And when you appreciate good writing, which I know you do as an English teacher, when you appreciate good writing, when you really listen to Jimmy and his music, boy, there's enough good writing to never run out of finding it, you know?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, quickly for our listeners, I think we can all tell a little bit about each other as parrot heads by knowing what your favorite Jimmy album is. And that, I know we've said before, you especially, my favorite album, my favorite song from Jimmy. It's more of a conversation than a list, for sure. I get it. It's going to change probably by next week.
Oh, yeah, it evolves.
But yeah. Your favorite Buffett album at the moment?
You know, the last probably 5 or 6 weeks, which is odd because probably two of the three or four songs I've kind of rediscovered and have gone to most often the last 5 or 6 weeks are not on this album. They're on the Fruitcakes album. But I think my favorite overall album right now is actually One Particular Harbor. So One Particular Harbor, obviously the title track is on there, but you know, probably my favorite song to hear live, One Particular Harbor. I could listen to that song on repeat live, and actually probably have been listening to that song on repeat for close to 20 years now, and not tired.
The best part of that song live, when Jimmy says, "And finally disappear, but not yet."
Not yet. You're right.
Long as he keeps saying "not yet," we're gonna be okay.
Absolutely, absolutely, man. That's a versatile album, man. You think about, you know, what he must have seen sailing into his one particular harbor when he was writing this album, but it's the Deep album, you know, Living It Up, awesome song, one of my favorites. One of his well-written and more fun songs, We Are the People Our Parents Warned Us About, a lot of fun, 12-Volt Man, some really good writing in there, great story behind it that he got to talk about, I think, on the Songs You Don't Know By Heart album. Why You Wanna Hurt My Heart, awesome song, a lot of fun, and a couple of good love songs, man. Brown Eyed Girl, Your Wedding Song, released on that album. And then, you know, everybody knows Come Monday as a great, great love story and love song. And I actually have argued with some people that Come Monday may be the greatest love story ever written. Better than Romeo and Juliet, the greatest love story potentially ever written is Come Monday by Jimmy Buffett. But I'm sure we'll talk about that later. But very close to that, another great love song, One Particular Harbor finishes up with is Distantly in Love, which is just an unbelievable, unbelievable song. So right now, I think One Particular Harbor is my favorite album. A lot of depth, a lot of range, right? You got a couple rock and roll songs on there. Stars on the Water, I Used to Have Money One Time, a little more rock and roll. It gets a little softer with the love songs, a couple of fun songs. Just a great, great, solid all-around album. So how about you?
Man, I go back and forth with this, but I think my favorite stretch of albums from Jimmy was from 94 to 96, okay. Fruitcakes, Barometer Soup, and Banana Wind.
Yeah.
I'm going to give the edge to Fruitcakes. I was born the year of Fruitcakes. So yeah. I just think if I only had the opportunity to take one studio album with me on a 2-week road trip or something of the sort, yep, I would probably grab Fruitcakes for the simple fact of the depth, how deep it is in amount of really good songs. So there's really not a song on there that I ever skip.
Mm-hmm.
But particularly when you go from tracks maybe like 3 to 8, from Lawn Palm, Six String Music, Uncle John's Band, Love in the Library, Quietly Making Noise, Frenchman for the Night. Like, that's as good of a stretch on an album as I think you'll find. And yeah, that whole album. Then you pick back up in a couple of tracks with Delaney Talks of Statues, just a really sweet, sweet ballad for obviously his daughter. And then you wrap it up with the 2020 song, Apocalypso, which I know you've been vibing out with a lot.
Yeah, you're right. That's a solid album when you think about the depth of that album and just the range, too. You got a couple rock and roll songs. I believe Vampires, Mummies, and the Holy Ghost is on that one.
That's right, yeah.
So, you know, a good rock and roll song there, and then some deeper songs, too. Six String Music, Love in the Library, great deep stuff. Delaney Talks to Statues, I think every parrot head with a little girl's favorite song. You know, we had Delaney picked out as our girl name, but we had a son, so we don't have a Delaney. We've got a mayor. But, you know, I know a lot of great parrot heads with daughters named Delaney, thanks to that song and to Jimmy's daughter.
Oh, if we have a girl, it's coming. It's coming. Like, the name's already picked out, Delaney Caroline. That's it. So, all right, one more question I want to ask you that might tell a little bit more about you as a Jimmy Buffett fan. You are going to a remote island, I guess, for a month. You've got 1 month. You can take 4 Jimmy Buffett songs with you, kind of a 4-song EP.
Yep.
what four songs are you putting on there?
You know, this may be a good question to end the podcast on every week, so we can track the evolution of kind of, you know, where we get with different stuff.
Yeah,
one song, I don't think, I guess it depends on my mood, probably the time of day and my mood and how much sleep I got and what else is going on in the world. Maybe what I heard on my drive into work that day is, you know, I think I probably have a bank of no kidding around 70 to 80 songs that could all at any time be in my top three Buffett songs that I would have to take somewhere. One song I think probably won't move out of there is One Particular Harbor, particularly the right version of that one. So I would say One Particular Harbor, that one may be kind of up there as you know, the if I had to pick a favorite, I don't know that I could pick a single favorite Jimmy Buffett song, but that if I had to, that'd be as close to any of them, you know, as I would pick. And I think Apocalypso, like you mentioned, I'm vibing pretty good to that one right now. It's just a fun little tune. And if I'm going to a deserted island, it only seems right that I would have Knees of My Heart. You know, gotta find a little island and be on the Knees of My Heart. And so I'd say Knees of My Heart. So Apocalypso, One Particular Harbor, Knees of My Heart. And then probably you want one little slow one, maybe one to calm down and end the day to. And, you know, if I needed a pick me up on a deserted island by myself and a nice slow song to be thankful for where I was, I'm probably picking Banana Republics. You know, I could see the sun setting, and that song reminded me of why I have a lot of reasons to be thankful for where I was stuck for those 2 weeks. So probably to have a slow one to end the day on, I'd probably pick Banana Republics right now, you know. So next week or the week after, that list will be totally different.
Yeah, good list. I don't think you could go wrong on that list unless you're picking like Margaritaville, Cheeseburger, Fins and Volcano, maybe. Right. No judgment to those of you out there that would do that. Well, maybe a little bit of judgment, if I'm being honest.
If you got a reason to pick those, you know, I can
if you got a good reason. Yeah, if you got a good reason.
Yeah.
For me, the one song for me that's probably not going to change is Far Side of the World.
Yeah.
For one, it's a great song to have on an island like that because it's 6 minutes long.
No, yeah, great. And you know, fun fact too about Far Side of the World, that is probably my favorite song I have never heard in concert.
And I would love to hear that song live.
Oh, yeah.
I love that song and the adventure it takes you on.
Absolutely.
I would also put Barometer Soup on there. When I'm feeling a little low, I can put Barometer Soup on full blast, and it always makes me feel better. For some reason, it's just got that infectious steel drum riff, and yeah, great song. And then I'm getting a little more mellow on the final two. My favorite song that Jimmy and Mac McAnally wrote together, Changing Channels.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, just it's the whole song's like a poem, man, and just put over the top of some really beautiful guitar playing by Mac, I would assume. This place is full of beachhead sailors, fishermen, and old retailers. Simple lives are so deep-seated, and history always gets repeated. Like, oh, it hurts so good, right?
That is elite songwriting we talked about.
And then tonight I just need my guitar because, well, some nights you just need your guitar or whatever instrument or whatever song that makes you feel good or whatever person that you love. Sometimes life is a lot simpler than we make it, and that song is a good reminder for that. I love that song, and as short as it is, it makes up for how long Far Side of the World is. Tonight I Just Need My Guitar is one of those songs that I wish it was another 3 minutes long because it's so good.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What a great one, and great to hear just music in its purest form right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, man, this has been fun. I'm glad we finally got this thing recorded and off the ground. Hopefully the listeners out there will enjoy it. And, you know, hopefully we'll be back in a week or so to dive into an album, maybe dive into some content, and then maybe start of the year, we'll begin to get some guests in.
Absolutely, man. I can't wait. I'm so looking forward to it. And You know, kind of like Jimmy says, his your first live show. Maybe our mom and dad and a couple of their friends will listen to this bad boy, but after that, we'll be on our own. So, you know, we might get a couple of folks listen to this thing. And like I said, I just hope it makes them smile and they have as much fun listening as we've had making it. But, you know, stay tuned and you know, be on the lookout for some social we have coming, and be on the lookout as well for, you know, in the coming weeks, we'll have an email address on one of these episodes where you can send us an email if you stumble across this podcast and want us to talk about something in particular, or if you're an under 40 victim of fate, or if you know an under 40 victim of fate and want to be a guest on the podcast, that'd be the most fun we could have too. So we'd love to do that. But Adam, it's been a blast, man. Wishing you a warm day. I know it's a little chilly. I could use a little boat drink. It's only 11 a.m. where I am, but I could use a little boat drink even now, as cold as it is. But I'm wishing you warm weather, man, and a great day.
Yeah, same to you, man. This has been the Under 40 Victims of Fate podcast. And fins up, everybody. Hope you guys have a great one. We'll see you next time.
Fins up, guys.